Hearing the Word of God is a gift. And I don't just mean the auditory ability with the ear, but the spiritual ability to understand, believe, and put into practice the revelation of God as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And one of the greatest failures of man is that we only recognize things as gifts when we don't have them. That we, once we have received something, we will take that for granted. Is there anybody out there that's got some hearing problems? Anybody? Not just selective hearing, but actual hearing problems? I don't, because it would be a sick joke if God gave me such big ears and then took away the ability to hear. And while I don't, I remember taking my child, Hayden, my firstborn, taking him home from the hospital and getting him home, and Hayden just screamed and screamed and screamed. He had failed his newborn hearing test, and so we knew that that had something to do with it, but the distress of my child as he just never ceased to stop screaming, and loud environments were all the worst because there were a little bit of sound, but just we couldn't figure it out. And so we knew that he had failed it, so we take him back to the ENT, the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and they hook him up. The audiologist hooks him up to all these wires as they're checking his hearing again. And I remember the helplessness that I had as I watched my little boy lay there and beeps and boops going off in his ears, and he was expressionless. And so in that moment, I just didn't understand what was going on. The fact that all these thoughts running through your mind, right? What am I going to do with a child that can't hear? What are the things that we need to do, the accommodations that we need to make? What about a cochlear implant, hearing aids? And you run through all this thing because there's a lack, right? And the doctor comes out and he calms us down and he tells us that fluid has built up behind Hayden's eardrum. And as that fluid built up, it could, his eardrums were not allowing that fluid to pass through. And so it flattened his eardrum and it didn't allow the vibrations to occur the way they were supposed to. And so we couldn't figure out what exactly that meant. And so we had a great doctor and he walked us through it and said, I think tubes will work. And so they put a little plastic tube inside the, called a Eustachian tube inside his eardrum, and the fluid released. And at 4 months old, he had this surgery for the first time. And it was instantaneous that his hearing returned. And so we get our child home and we took home a different kid, which like I was so glad for because I needed some sleep. But he could hear. And you could tell because loud noises just terrified him, but he wasn't screaming like he was. And so we knew then that we had been given this gift. And he's had 6 ear surgeries since then, and he doesn't act like he can hear very often when I tell him to do something, but I praise God that he can hear. See, this is the same thing that happens in us as God speaks into the deafness of our hearts, our spiritual ears. And in an instant, we begin to hear from him through his word. That's the miracle that happens, and I pray that that's happened in your life. And I'd ask, has it? Have you faithfully, truly heard and obeyed the Word of God? Do you have ears to hear as you sit here today? See, if you have heard the Scriptures and believe and understand the truth behind them, then I pray that you live a life of praise, that you've been given this great gift, that God has opened your ears to hear His Word, His truth, His gospel, and so know that your eternal life is secure with Jesus. This gift is not given to everyone. Jesus says in verse 23, if you have ears to hear, let them hear. That means some do not have ears to hear. Some don't. Some have souls that have hard soils, as Edward talked about last week. Some have thorny soil. Some have rocky soils. And the word in these soils cannot sink into their heart with faithfulness. They'll hear and it just gets snatched away by Satan or by the world. But if the word has sunk into you and grows, then you must rejoice and seek more and more of the treasure of this word. Because when you hear God's word, it is then that you can say with David from Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And I pray that that is the way that you embrace God's word, that it is not some rote task that you have to do to pick this up and study it and read it, but that it is a treasure that is greater than any other treasure in this world, because it reveals to us who God is. Because this is the one and only divine revelation of who God is and the great and marvelous lengths that He went to that we could know Him. Wrapped up in the beautiful love story of Jesus, the Son of God. The incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection and ascension and return. That is the story of this. The way to God is here and only here. So the gift of hearing and treasuring what we hear is what the first parable that we studied in our Cypher series was about last week. The parable of the sower is about how some, those that are the good soil, are receptive to the seed, to the word of God. Edward did a great job of explaining that last week from Mark 4, 1 through 20. If you hadn't heard it, I would encourage you to go and listen to it, because the parable of the sower is the decoder ring for the rest of the parables. The truth that's in it then is how we decipher what Jesus says in all the other parables. We've titled this sermon series Cipher because the parables of Jesus are like coded messages that were only understood by those who could decode them, those who had ears to hear. The truth in the parable of the sower is like the decoder ring in the Christmas story. You remember this decoder ring? Little Ralphie waited and waited, ran to the mailbox every day to check the mailbox to see if that decoder ring was in there. And then he ran to the radio as his show was on, and he listened to the show, and he wrote down the letters. And then as he gets to the end, he's so disappointed because it's an Ovaltine commercial. What a letdown. This will not let you down. And what is it that then, from the parable of the sower, that decodes all the other parables and makes them understandable? It is the truth that the ability to hear, believe, and pursue what Jesus has said is available to those that are the good soul. And that as we hear, we have a responsibility then to produce, as the crops do, by 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And so we hear these things to then go and do something with them. Faithful hearing and desiring more is what unlocks the deeper meaning of the rest of the parables. That we don't simply take it at face value, but we desire asking God, what lies within this? And as we do, as it's unlocked for us, as we hear this word and desire more, we see beautiful promises embedded in these parables from God to us. And if you don't hear and hunger after the Word of God, then all you will ever read are cool stories that make no difference in your life. I believe that's how far too many approach the stories of the Bible. We'll look at Noah's Ark and we're like, man, that's awesome. He made this huge ark and got all these animals together on it. But we'll miss out on the fact that there was only one righteous man in the whole world. And God kept His promise to uphold His people and make them prosper as He got those people on that ship, but all the others died because of their unrighteousness. And we teach our children to understand the Bible this way, to just take it at face value, not looking at the truth that lies within these stories, that God will not abide by sin, but that He always makes a way for restoration, as He did with Noah. And there's many in these crowds that follow Jesus around, maybe yours, you're sitting here today, that hear these stories, take them at face value, and just say, cool story, bro, and go on with your life. It's more to it than that. There's depth to this word beyond what is right in front of us. See, anybody can agree with what Jesus says in these parables because it's all true. It's just basic truth. But it's something altogether different to consider them true and then allow them to shape your life, to put them to work So there's always something deeper. These parables are a window for us to look through and see God and His truth in deeper and deeper ways. That's why He told them that way. So it's my prayer today as we've joined together that you have ears to hear and that you will respond faithfully to this truth from Mark 4, 21 through 25 and be transformed by the Spirit of God today. I pray that you have ears to hear. If you'll turn with me to Mark 4, 21 through 25 now, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do. It'll be on the screen behind me in the English Standard Version. Mark 4, 21 through 25. Beginning in verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one that has not, even what he has will be taken away." Let us pray. Holy and gracious Father, I do plead earnestly that those that are watching online and here in person, that they have ears to hear, Father. That you have tilled the soul of their hearts and given them a desire to hear your word, that they're not just here because church is what they're supposed to do. That they're not just here because somebody drug them here. That they're here because they have seen the light of Jesus and know that He is the greatest treasure of this world. Father, I pray if there's one that's listening that doesn't understand that, that today would be the day that you would speak into their lives. That they would hear for the first time of their own sinfulness, of your perfect creation, but the corruption of sin. And they would hear of the beauty of Jesus and His sacrifice at the cross. And they would confess that He is their Lord and Savior. Then they would go and live in obedience to this word. Father, I pray that you move as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in verse 21, Jesus begins with a rhetorical question. He's still speaking with the disciples and apostles. That's the "them" in verse 21. And he asks them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" Which we would all say, well, duh. Of course a lamp is not made to be put under a basket or under a bed. I think all of us would agree that the principle behind this question is true. The purpose of a lamp is to light up a room or a house and not be put under a basket or a bed. See, this is what a lamp looked like in Jesus' time. They were terracotta lamps. They had oil in, held oil in one side and a wick in the other, and they were set on a lampstand within the house to cast light into the dark spaces at night. And it would have been foolish and downright dangerous to put this kind of lamp under a basket or a bed. Dangerous for them. And without a doubt, Jesus was not playing fire marshal and giving good housekeeping advice. There was something more to this. He was telling them that if the Word of God, which Psalm 119:105 says, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, if this Word is given to them, if they have ears to hear, then they're supposed to do something with that light. They're supposed to put it at a place of exposure to the world so that others could see that light. Jesus is telling His disciples, and He's telling us today, that what you hear from God is to be shared with others. There's a lot of people that say they hear things from God, and you have to be very careful with that, because this is how God speaks today, through His Word. But when we hear it, when we have this revelation, we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that we weren't given ears to hear about Jesus, the light of the world, so that we would just store this information in our brain, that we would just keep it to ourselves. We were given this light so that we would then shine it into the darkness of the world around us. You know the song, right? Many of us have heard it and sang it. I sing it with my kids all the time. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It's not just a kid's song. This is a continual teaching of our Master Jesus. Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." We are given the light so that we will shine the light. That's what we're doing here today. We come to have our lights built up as we worship together, as we come together and hear the word proclaimed. You should leave this place shining brighter than when you came in, though you should have prepared yourself for coming as well. We have to shine this light. But how do we do that? How do we shine the light? How can you speak into your family that doesn't know the word? How can you speak into your coworkers that don't know the Lord? You teach them what you're learning from God's word. With the words of our mouths and the actions of our lives, we shine the light of the gospel on them and pray that they are then the good receptive soil that will take that word in and begin to produce themselves. Our lights shine out brightly when we share that light with others through teaching. And here's the reality. Whether you think you are a teacher or not, if you are a Christian, you have a command to teach. You have the ability to teach. God, Jesus told us that. That is His final command, the Great Commission of Matthew 28:18-20, where He came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you until the end of the age." You are teachers of the word. You teach with your life and you teach with your words. That is what you are commanded as a believer to do. We say it this way at Harmony. We're to shine the light by making disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. So let me ask you something. Is the light of Jesus shining through you into the world around you? Are you doing what you've been commanded to do? Or are there parts of your life where you put Jesus under a basket? Does Jesus go under a basket when you hang out with a certain group of friends? Does Jesus go under the bed when you're home alone? Does He go under your desk as you walk into your office because He doesn't have a place there if you're wanting to get ahead? Does He go under your desk at school because it's just not cool to be a Christian in today's world? Don't do that. Don't put Him where He doesn't belong. The world is dark enough, and the only thing that drives away darkness is light. So we must shine the light. We must put Jesus in the rightful place, proudly centered in our life, so that all that encounter us can see the truth of His word shining brightly in our lives and on our lips. And it'll be hard. You'll be mocked. You'll be condemned. You'll be called a bigot. This world thinks that those that follow the teachings of this word are crazy. They think that we're antiquated. They think that they know better than we do, that they have a better way than God's. And so they will reject you. And guess what? Jesus knew that it would happen. He knew that this would be hard. He knew that it would be rejected. It's not an easy thing to shine the light in a dark, sin-filled world, but it's exactly what He tasked His disciples with. He said, you're going to go and you're going to preach the gospel and I'm going to give you power to heal people and cast out demons. And he told them on the front end, you're going to be rejected as he sent the 72 out. He said, you're going to come into towns and they're going to reject you. Knock the dust off your shoes and go on. He told the 12, you're going to be rejected at places. Some of them wanted to rain down fire when they were rejected. But he said, no. It's going to be hard, but you got to keep doing it. Shine the light anyway. The task is hard, and people reject God's word, and they do it primarily because the kingdom is still hidden. It's hard because you can't just point to Jesus standing beside you and say, here he is, come and believe. Neither could the disciples. The hidden element of the kingdom is what he was revealing to them in Mark 22 when he says, nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. It was hard because they couldn't have Jesus beside them everywhere they walked because the people they were telling, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand, couldn't see the kingdom. But Jesus is telling them that everything that you've heard about the kingdom from me, all that you know who me to be, while it's been revealed to you, is still hidden from them because there's a perfect time for this thing to be revealed. A perfect time for it to be revealed. And we understand this principle, right? Parents, you understand hiding gifts from children until the perfect time to let them see them. If you've ever had a surprise party, you know that you keep that surprise until the moment that you're supposed to jump out and say surprise. If you don't, then the surprise is ruined. The gift is not as great, but if it comes at the right time, there is a tremendous celebration. It's the same way with the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus. See, the resurrection was the time where Jesus was fully revealed as the Son of God, as over 500 witnesses saw him as a risen Savior. Scars in his hands, been dead in a tomb for 3 days, but now walking the streets of Israel. They saw him so they could see that this was the Son of God. It was the perfect time where what was hidden had been brought to light. Shining the light of Jesus was hard until he rose from the dead. The whole Jewish community was set against him. Shining the light of Jesus was hard until the Spirit of God indwelled the apostles at Pentecost. And then in a moment, the gospel was proclaimed and 3,000 came to faith. Because we don't have Jesus with us today, because the kingdom hasn't already but not yet atmosphere to it, is still hard today. Shining the light is still hard. I know some of you got people in your lives, or maybe it's you, that continue to reject Jesus. They continue to reject the gospel, just like the people in the towns that rejected the disciples. Maybe you're here today and you just can't believe what you can't see. You know, you say, if I could just see him, then I'd put my faith in him. Maybe you're here and you've heard the gospel 1,000 times. You've had people cry over your lack of faith and it just never hits home. But I know that in an instant, I've seen it happen in people. I've seen the stories from my brothers where in an instant, the Spirit of God tills the ground, rips out the rocks and thorns and makes good gospel soil in their hearts and they come to faith. It happens every day. So if you're rejecting, I pray that you will have ears to hear today. And if you've got somebody in your life, you've been sharing the gospel with them for so long, and they continually reject it, that you would trust that God's timing is perfect. It may not come when others want it or when you desire it, but the word comes to you when you need to hear it, and it comes at the perfect time. It comes at the perfect time because it is the time God chooses for you to hear it. And everything he does is perfect. Everything. So when you get in a hurry to see the result of your harvest. You've been pouring in for so long. You get in a hurry to see that. You desperately want people to come to faith, and you just keep sharing it over and over, and you get so distressed. I want you to remember 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9, which says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. In His timing it will come. He moves the hearts of men when He is ready. Trust His timing and don't grow weary of shining the light." Don't grow weary. Continue to listen to what God is saying to you. Have ears to hear. It's what verse 23 says. We've already covered that. You have ears to hear. You consider yourself blessed and continue to listen. And he says in Mark 4, 24, and he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear." Pay attention to what you hear. Parents, you know that, right? Like, how many times you got to say that to your kids? Pay attention to what I'm saying. Jesus wants to get it to sink in to those disciples that they must hear it and then use what they've heard as they pay attention to it. And he says this, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you." Jesus is saying that the good you do with the word you've heard from God will bring blessings on you. The good you do with the word you've heard from God will bring blessings on you. There's this blessedness to hear, and then God just shows off by providing even more blessedness as we go out and use what we've heard. Blessing upon blessing. It's not an even trade. It's not an even trade. It's not like you're just getting out what you put in. You had nothing to begin with, and He's given you everything, and now He gives you more and more. That's the God we have, the Father that showers us with spiritual blessings. They're all revealed hearing His Word. He promises this beautiful promise. What you do with what you hear is returned to you in blessings from God. Paul captures the essence of this promise in Galatians 6, 7 through 9 when he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Do not give up. Unless you're sowing the wrong thing. This promise remains for us, brothers and sisters. As you shine the light, more light will shine on you. As you use what God has planted in your heart, you will receive more understanding of the Word. You will receive more grace. You will receive more power. You will receive more joy and fulfillment. You will receive these eternal blessings. You ain't getting a Ferrari in the driveway. You're getting blessings that are stored up in heaven where rust and rot can't take them away. And that's what you should be pursuing. Put your faith to work, and God will grow your faith all the more. I promise you that you can't outgive God in this. You keep serving Him faithfully, and He's going to keep blessing you abundantly. I tell people all the time that taking a week-long mission trip is like a year's worth of discipleship, because in that 1 week, most people put more effort into what they've learned from God than they will in an entire year. It's a crash course, and God blesses them for their work. The happiest, most fulfilled Christian you will ever meet is the one that hears, obeys, and appreciates God's word the most. It doesn't matter if they live in a hut in Haiti. When they put their faith to work this way, they are filled with joy. Circumstance cannot take it away. And if you're unhappy as a Christian, which is really an oxymoron when we know the Savior of the world, but if you are, you put what God has planted in your heart to work, and He'll turn your frown upside down. But if you're here today and the Word has not taken root, you've heard it over and over and over again, and you're just going through the motions of faith by even being here, I pray that you'll repent and confess Jesus as your Lord today, because Jesus warns us in verse 25, from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And the parallel in Luke says, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. You can sit in this place and you can go to all the Christian things that you want to be a part of, and you can fool everybody into thinking that you have a relationship with Jesus. Judas Iscariot had 11 other mighty men of God thinking that he was one of them. But faking the ability to hear God will be found out. Faking the ability to hear God will be found out. If you're here today and you're riding on the coattails of your family thinking that's going to get you to Jesus for eternity, you'll be found out. If you're here today because your mama and daddy made you come, you'll be found out. If you're here today because you think going to church and doing the spiritual things is going to win you points with Jesus, you'll be found out. None of that will get you eternal life. It is only through a direct personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where you confess that He is your Lord and trust Him as Savior, that you will be saved. That is the only way. And I pray you won't be found out when it's too late. See, Jesus died for your sins. He hung on the cross and died your death, so that through faith you could have life in Him. And not just life, but life abundantly. He rose from the dead to prove that He had conquered death and sin. He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father in power. But there's coming a day where He returns. And when He comes back, I pray that you are not found out, because then it's too late. Don't believe the lie that you have more time. The days are short. Days are short. Lean into the promises of God that you've heard today. I plead with you, if your faith is not true, if you look into your heart right now, I pray that you will, that you're hearing these words, that you'll look into your heart and see whether you have a relationship with Jesus or not. And that if you don't, you will repent and confess today. And then start shining your light into the world. It's what you were made to do. It's the reason you exist. To have a relationship with God. And to worship Him forever. That's why you were made. As you leave today, there's a basket of candles sitting on the tables in the back. I want you to take one as a reminder to let your light shine before others so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You've been given the gift to hear of the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the light of life. And let us go, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let us pray. Holy Father, Your light takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of Your beloved Son. So I pray, Father, that Your light would shine in the hearts of those that have gathered here today. That if they don't know You, that today would be the day that the gospel, the word that You put out for us to hear for salvation, that that would take root in their lives today. Father, there's so many living in darkness. So many that are depressed. So many that are struggling through the pandemic with loneliness and asking why they have lives like this. And Father, the men and women that sit here that have a relationship with You, they have the light in them. The light that can drive out the darkness of depression. The light that drives out the darkness of sin. So Father, I pray that we will shine it boldly. People's lives depend on it. Let us not hide our lights so that we fit in. Let us not hide our light so that we just get by. Let us boldly proclaim the light of life, Jesus Christ, everywhere that we go. Some may come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. move us, Father, as only you can. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If the light is not shining in you today, I pray that you will ask God to show you that Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world, that you are a sinner, that your God's perfect design is broken in you by the sin that is in you. That you will repent of that sin, turn to Him and walk with Him, that that light may shine. And if you have taken that light that God gave you and you've put it under a bowl, if you've hidden it, I pray that you'll repent today. That light is meant to be used.